Who needs a pen? Three. Got a couple here. Are we getting more? Is any in the office? Maybe?
Yeah, he's getting.
Okay, very good. Well, we're getting near the end. Anyone else? Need a pen? Papers coming over here. All right. Greg, why don't you? We got time for. You want to sing congregation? Congregational?
Yeah, come on. It's nice to sing.
We're not in a hurry.
How about Here Is Love?
Okay, all right. 100.
Revival introduced by a young lady named Miss Annie Davies echoed throughout the schools, churches, and byways as God wrought a mighty work in heart and home. It is said that within the revival meetings, the hymn centered almost wholly upon the divine love manifested in the Passion of Christ. And these lines fit the measure so perfectly as to be the most characteristic hymn of the meetings. Granted, for song to be an instrument of use, it must be borne upon voices of zeal and hearts of desire. Do you want me to read the following?
Sure.
Of it? We give the following biographical sketch of the revival rooted in such zeal and desire. In nearly all the accounts of the revival in Wales, attention is given to the prominence of singing as a feature. We had almost said the feature of the meetings. Everyone knows that Wales is a land of song, especially of religious song. Lessons in singing are among the very first which are imparted to the young. Apart from the native fondness for song, much of the perfection of the Welsh in music is due to the fact that they keep close to the traditions of the great masters, Bach, Handel, Haydn, Mozart. When inquired of Mr. W.T. Stead if the revival might overflow to London, he replied, "It depends on whether you can sing." Mr. Morgan added, Welshmen sing. They sing the words like men who believe them. They abandon themselves to their singing. We sing as though it would not be respectable to be heard by the man next to us. No choir, did I say? It was all choir and hymns. I stood and listened in wonder and amazement as that congregation on that night sang hymn after hymn, long hymns, sung through without hymn books.
Thank you, Greg. Let's see. Greg and Betsy have been a blessing to me and gotten to know them a little bit. Other children, they're good. It's nice. I'm refreshed. There's good. Again, I spend too much time in Walmart if I went once and I just see the other side. It's nice to see that, hey, there are some, not every kid is a monster, right? Not every parent is just bad. So, well, we're getting near the end. Again, it's kind of, imagine a funnel. We started with basic things, broad, the Bible's true, who are you? And we close in a little bit more. We talk about your thinking, and your heart, the decisions that you make. Now we talked about the emotions. We're getting to there. We're getting to where you are. You are an emotional person. It's good. God made you that way. Now we're getting to the end where we want to talk about forgiving. There's a lot of stuff about forgiving. I found it hard to follow other people's sayings about forgiving. I know I have to forgive people that have hurt me. Can you believe it? Here I am, pretty established. I'm called the senior missionary in a lot of places now. And pastors have hurt me. Other missionaries have hurt me. It's hard to believe, I know. I know it's not hard to believe. Because people that you don't expect to hurt you have hurt you too. Amen?
Yes.
It's just the way it is. It's our life. It's life here. In heaven, when we see Jesus, it'll be all right. We'll make out all right. But for now, we got this problem. We feel we're in bondage to our passion, our specifically our bitterness. It hurts us. So we're going to learn to forgive from the heart. Frog parking, all others will be towed. Okay. Was that off your site or somebody else's? That looks like something off of yours. Anyway, come on, we got to have a little of that. The object of this lesson is to understand what forgiveness is and to learn how to forgive. This is where our freedom comes. Why forgive? Well, number one is it's required by God. For if you forgive, Jesus said this, I think he's got a lot more weight than any speaker else that would come through here. For if ye forgive men, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not, if you enjoy the freedom of forgiving other people, you'll find it easy for it to work both ways. But if you don't exercise forgiveness, you're going to find it difficult to fully grasp what God has for you. You're going to be lacking the peace that passes understanding that only God gives. It's essential for our own freedom. We understand the extent of our own debt. When we can forgive, we understand what debtors we are.
the parable of the unforgiving servant. Let's go there. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he began to reckon, that's what a reckon means, accounting, by the way. It's not hillbilly's talk. One was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. That's a lot of money. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Any of you rent houses? You've heard this every month. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Wow. He forgave him the debt. Wow. But the same servant went out, found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. Remember, this guy was just forgiven 10,000 talents. And this guy, it'd be like, I owe $100,000, and here's this other guy who owes me 50 bucks. I'm just, you know, in relative terms. Wow. And the same servant went, and he found him. He laid hands on him, took him by the throat. Can you get the picture here? Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me. I saw it work for you. I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went, cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, delivered him to his tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother his trespasses. Well, that seems pretty strong. What does that mean? Am I allowed to take some scissors and cut that out and put that in a future dispensation or past dispensation? Is that, I don't like that. It doesn't fit with the happy grace, you know, kumbaya feeling. That's for our good. This is for our good. For our understanding. We need to know this. Repayment is impossible. You're expecting someone to repay you for the hurt that they did to you, for the wounds they caused, and now the scars are there. And you expect that to be repaid. But it's impossible. Justice, here's our vocabulary teacher there. Giving people what they deserve. I know this is just a condensed version. Mercy is not giving people what they deserve, and grace is giving people what they don't deserve. Why forgive? So Satan can't use our bitterness against us. In my mind, I think Satan has a toolbox. I think he does. And I think, like in my toolbox, I keep the tools I rarely use. They gravitate to the bottom where it's rusty and dirty. But the tools I'm always using, top and center, are easy to grab. I think the number one tool that Satan uses is pride. I think it's pride. But I think right next to pride is bitterness in the Christian. He loves that. For your sakes forgave I in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. An unforgiving spirit is the ruin of you, your family, and your church, the people you are with. You wear it. It's like an odor you can't get rid of. You can smile and grin. You can kill it with medications and alcohol, but you haven't killed it. You've just pushed it back. It'll spring back. It'll hurt you. It'll hurt others. We forgive to stop the pain. Lord, I choose, name the person, for tell God what they did and how it hurt you. Give it to God. I choose to forgive them. I read a book on forgiveness by Charles Stanley. I don't know if you like him or not, but he wrote it. It was a good book. I was reading it on the airplane to Vietnam. Or was it the way back? I can't remember, but I got a bad seat. I always get seat 22 aisle, if I can. It wasn't available. I was like in the 30s. And all around me were these drunken Chinese guys. Chinese aren't really, generally, I know it's a generalization, but they're not really proper. They don't have very good manners, right, typically. And these are the kind of guys, when they get drinking, they get loud. The one guy behind me is, I'm crushed. I got a big wide guy next to me. I got another wide guy next to him. I always pray that God would send me some little Asian woman so I can spread out a little bit in her seat, you know. I think it was a woman. She was a large, I'm trying to be kind. She was just a large, she was overweight. And she was in my seat, even though she was in her seat. You know, I get the picture. And it was just uncomfortable. So for 12 hours, I have to sit kind of like this, so I fit sideways. And then I'm grousing and complaining, and the guy behind me, these Chinese guys, this guy's sneezing. Shoo! And you feel like, gross. This is, I'm sure the virus came from China. I'm not sure. And I'm trying to read this book by Charles Stanley on forgiveness. And he does this, and I'm going to have you do it. That's what the paper's for. He'd have me pull out a piece of paper and a pen, and he'd have me to write down the names of the people that have offended me. And you can just write down, whatever, Pastor Bill, whatever, and what he did. You know, he stiffed me, he replaced me with some other guy, or he made a, whatever, he hurt me somehow. And just write that name down. By writing it down, it gets it. For one, you admit that it's a problem, right? You admit that this is a cause of your bitterness. You admit that you need to forgive this person. When you write it down, it comes out of your heart. You can just, yeah, I know you could do it silently, but when you write it down, it just forces you to expose the reality. What's in my heart? And I thought, all right, I'll go along with it. So I got the little napkin that they give you the peanuts on and the drink, little square napkin, right? And I got a pen and I wrote down a couple of names and what they did. And then there's that guy. And then there's that person. And then there's that person. I got to write a little smaller because my napkin's filling up. I have to flip the napkin over. And there's that person. And it just started flowing out of me. God, help me. I didn't realize all that junk was in there. These are names, when I hear their names, I go, oh. And flight attendant, can I have another napkin? I would ask her that three more times. I have a stack of napkins. You have one paper. Let's get started with one paper. I started writing that stuff down, and I presented those names before the Lord. I said, Lord, here's Pastor Bill, Dr. Salt and Pepper, whatever. This is what he did to me. This is what I feel he did to me. It hurts. God, would you take this? Would you forgive him? Would you help me to forgive him? Lord, when I read Dr. Bill's name in the Sword of the Lord or whatever, when I hear his name spoken, may I rejoice and no longer have bitterness. I started feeling good. I mean, I started feeling good. I started feeling clean. It was a blessing. And being cramped and sitting there like that, I had 4 more hours to go. I was hoping the flight would go longer. I'm serious. It's unheard of. I was thanking the Lord for the guy in the back with the runny nose that's sneezing on me. I was thanking for this woman in front of me that's in my seat without trying. Amen? I'm glad. I'm not trying to be cruel. If you're, you know, we all have a few fun. I'm just setting the stage for you. I enjoyed it. It's good. There was a freedom that I felt that I had never felt before because I went through that exercise. Holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness is like swallowing poison and hoping the other person will die. As I teach this, I get around, I realize that a lot of the people that have hurt you, have hurt other people, they don't even know. Or it was 30 years ago and they died 10 years ago. And you're still having that poison. It's still affecting you. Because you've never dealt with it. We're going to deal with it. Amen? We're going to deal with it. The main reason that people don't forgive is they don't know what it is or what it is not. Forgiving is not the same as forgetting. Oh, just forgive and forget. I can forget, but I can't forget that. Actually, when you've been hurt, you've been traumatized, that stays in your brain forever. You can't forget it. But it doesn't mean you can't forgive. It doesn't mean you can't forgive. Forgiveness does not mean we tolerate sin. Oh, well, just forgive them. Let them go on pillaging, raping, killing, stealing, you know, lying. No. That's sin. We don't tolerate sin. He's hurting people. She's hurting you. Don't put up with that. Forgiveness is not this, you know, oh, just, you know, feel good, everything like that. It doesn't take away sin. The blood of Christ takes away sin. Amen? Forgiving is not seeking revenge. I think that's obvious. Forgiveness is to set a captive free and to realize that you were the captive. You were the captive. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Is that the verse you used? Or Dale used to use that verse, right? The Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. It's hard. We had an old lady. I pastored in the Finger Lakes area. Her name was Clarice. I met her on the bus. I drove the medical bus. I met her there, invited her to church. She was an old prickly pear. She was a grouch. She had a rough life, and she was going to tell you why. She was going to tell you. She was going to pull you down with her. And she'd come to church all grumpy and ruffled and... So I gathered the men around her, and we circled around her in a wheelchair, and we sang to her. You probably know it. You know that verse in Ephesians? Is it 4:32 or 5:32? And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted. We're singing this to this lady. Tender hearted, forgiving one another. How do I do that, Pastor? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Go back to the earlier slides. How can you hold that grudge when God has dismissed the charges against you? Such a great debt of your sin. And you can't forgive one another for Christ's sake? Bless you, it's imperative that you do. Amen? You want to turn your Bible? Let's go there. It's Ephesians 4:32, I think. Or is it 5:32? Am I right?
Yeah.
Who knows this in melody?
Me.
Me? Come on up, guys. Come on up. Lucy, can you help us? Come on up.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir. We're good. Let Mrs. Scott anchor that side. Sing along when you can catch on. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How do I forgive? But one more time. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another.
How?
Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. All right. These guys do a lot of work around here. Thank you, guys. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Such a debt. It's imperative that we forgive. Now, I want you to... I'm done now. This is your part. Does anybody doubt that the Word of God is our final authority? I hope you are not doubting. Is there any doubt at all who you are? I don't want to know your physical characteristics. Who are you really? I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm a child of God. That's who I am. Because I'm a child of God, because I have that enduring relationship, I have privileges and I have responsibilities as well. I can make sound choices. I can make good decisions. I can make decisions based by faith. I'm a person who has real emotions. I have emotions too. Yippee! Spring is here. Just the other day, I was in the garage, and I looked over, and I could see the two wheels of my motorcycle. It's covered up. It's winterized. My heart leapt. Oh, baby. Just a few more months. I have emotion. I have a negative emotions too, as you do too. I don't want those emotions to control who I am. I want them to direct me to the problem. I want to address the problem. Oftentimes, the problem lies in I was hurt. I was done dirt. I don't even know if the person knows they did me dirt. Maybe it's just their way. But I sure feel bad about that. I sure feel hurt. And I sure feel bitterness. And maybe even anger. And I sure feel like I'm in bondage to those emotions. and I sure feel like I want to be free. God has so much more for me. God has so much more for you. Amen? You are God's child. So now, discreetly, on your paper, maybe you want to use initials. Maybe you don't want to write out a lot. Write down that person that you have bitterness about. Write down the name of that unforgiven. Oh, you hate that one. And then another one. You might want to write down what they did to you if you want to. You probably know. You probably write some key so that they, you know, you can see. You'll be reminded. No looking at your neighbor. This is a private time. We're going to take we're going to take minutes. Sometimes you have to reach through the veneer and your heart, reach into those corners. Those people, it could have been years ago. Probably was. But it's entrenched in your heart. Bitterness there. You're going to write it out. You're going to get it out of those corners of your heart. You're going to pull it up. You're going to be honest with yourself and with God. And you're going to write those things out. It's going to help you. If you can't be honest and deal with it truly, nothing's going to happen. Maybe that's what you want. I sat on a flight. It took me hours. We're not going to take hours. We're going to take a few minutes. Remember what that guy did? You know who they are. Oftentimes it's someone that you should be able to trust, someone that you should be able to love, but you can't. Bitterness, unforgiving spirit blocks you. This is your time. Take your time.
In the first cabinet on the right.
Okay.